Can't Wait for Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Is it Christmas yet?
No, sorry, not yet.
I can't wait for Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait for Christmas either. In fact, let's celebrate now.
Welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast.
It's January 25th, 2025, and that means there's 11 months left until Christmas. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Oliver Cromwell and the English ban on Christmas. We'll also take Amazon Prime to task for ruining a Christmas classic. We'll find a way to make Christmas cinema last all year, and I've got the top 5 songs from Christmas movies that aren't about Christmas. Okay, let's start the show! Welcome, you believers, to another year of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, the podcast all about Christmas history, Christmas traditions, Christmas media, and everything else Christmas. I'm your host and guy who just took his Christmas decorations down a few days ago, Tim Babb. Happy New Year! Welcome back to the Christmas Cave. Hope everyone had a festive Christmas. I don't know about you, but it went by much too fast for me. I remember I kept saying, oh, I need to do that before Christmas about so many things, and then one day I was like, oh, it's the 26th. There's no time to do that before Christmas is over. You missed it. Santa done come and gone. For example, we only put our Christmas tree up the weekend before Christmas, and the closest I got to setting up the train that I usually put underneath the tree was getting the box out of the garage when we were putting the tree up and setting it next to the tree. We ran out of time to set up the train when we were done decorating the tree, and then I never circled back to it. No pun intended. Then when I was taking the tree down, I just grabbed the box and put it back in the garage, and I'm sure the box was like, yo, what was the point of this? Plus, we got hit with a lot of sickness at our house. I told you in our last episode that I got sick right after Thanksgiving, so I thought we'd already had our holiday season bug for the year, but my wife and both my sons got sick between the 23rd and Christmas Day. So the big lesson I took from this was we should probably all wear masks to work and school over the next holiday season, because being sick on Christmas es no bueno. We still had a good Christmas and lots of fun and laughs, so I don't mean to sound like I'm just complaining, but sometimes Christmas isn't perfect, and it's okay to acknowledge that. Social media and things like that make you feel like everyone else is having the perfect Christmas and you're the only one who's struggling, but the truth is, it's not always all winter wonderlands and one-horse open sleighs, and that's okay. Christmas doesn't have to be perfect, but if you focus on the joy, the relationships, and the love, even an imperfect Christmas can be very, very merry. But that doesn't mean that after it's over, you're not still left wanting more. And that leads me to our first segment, We Need a Little Christmas, now!
We need a little Christmas now!
So today's Christmas Now tip is a Christmas recipe from my youngest, James.
Goodbye.
No, James, don't leave. The segment is just starting. So, do you have a recipe for us?
Yes.
Okay, let's have it.
Okay.
You don't have any ingredients or a cookbook or even a written out recipe with you. Or...
Daddy, January 25th is National Opposite Day, because it says so on the calendar that you bought us.
So you don't actually have a Christmas recipe for us?
Yes.
By yes, you mean no?
No.
This is going to be a long day, isn't it?
Hello.
And he left. Okay, well, we'll get him on for his actual recipe later this year, but for now, I've got our non-opposite day Christmas Now idea that was sent to us from listener Chris, who wrote in recently to say, for 2025, my way of keeping the kernel of Christmas spirit alive throughout the year, other than your podcast, is going to be this. There are so many adaptations of A Christmas Carol that once a month, I'm going to watch at least one different adaptation of it. I'm going to try and fit in some versions I've never seen. Thanks, Chris. That is a great idea. I am noticing every year that I don't get around to watching all the Christmas movies I want to watch. Like this year, we didn't get around to watching Scrooged, It's a Wonderful Life, or even The Muppet Christmas Carol. And that's two classic versions of A Christmas Carol right there. Instead of trying to cram them all in between Thanksgiving and Christmas Day, why not have a Christmas movie night at least once a month throughout the year? And branching out to versions of A Christmas Carol you haven't seen is great, because during the holidays, time is so finite you may not be willing to risk a movie night on an unknown version. But if you spread them throughout the year, you can take your chances and maybe discover a new favorite version. Well, the Muppets will always be the favorite version, but maybe discover a new second favorite version. So, good luck, Chris! Let us know if you find any hidden Christmas Carol gems we might not have seen. And now, let's move on to our next segment, 5 Golden Things.
5 Golden Things.
last year, I had hosts from the Christmas Podcast Network come on and share their own five golden things, which was really cool, but it did mean every time I had a five golden things idea, I had to be like, oh, save it for next year, save it for next year. And today's list is definitely one I came up with last year. In our October episode last year, we had Alonzo Duralde on to talk about the 70th anniversary of White Christmas. And since that was my first viewing of White Christmas, I was very surprised to learn of how few of the songs from this classic musical were actually about Christmas. And after I made that observation, I noticed there's a lot of songs in Christmas movies that aren't really about Christmas. So there's no reason we couldn't listen to these all year round. So today's list is the best songs from Christmas movies or specials that aren't about Christmas. Let's start it off with...
Number 5!
Sisters from White Christmas.
Sisters, sisters, there were never such devoted sisters. Never had to have a chaperone, no sir. I'm here to keep my eye on her.
Kicking things off with the movie that inspired this list. It's hard to go wrong with Irving Berlin. Besides White Christmas, he also wrote so many classics like God Bless America, Blue Skies, and There's No Business Like Show Business. Like I said, there's a lot of songs from this movie that I could have picked, like Count Your Blessings, Is It a Sheep, Snow, or The Best Things Happen While You're Dancing, but Sisters is such a fun song. It's our first introduction to the characters played by Rosemary Clooney and Vera Ellen, and a great way to show off their personalities. Plus, we get the added bonus of getting to hear the song a second time, this time as a lip sync done by Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye.
Number 4.
One foot in front of the other, Santa Claus is coming to town.
Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door.
So here's a confession for you. I had never seen Santa Claus is Coming to Town until last year. I mean, maybe I saw it as a kid, but neither me or my mom remembered seeing it. But this year, there was a night where I needed a movie that was under an hour, and since I actually bought a physical DVD copy of the movie back in 2023, I decided it was finally time. And I'll probably do a full episode on the movie one day, but I definitely had to highlight the One Foot in Front of the Other song on this list. It's just a jaunty tune with a great message. If you want to do better, just take it one step at a time. A great message for Christmas or any other time of year.
Number 3.
When Love Is Gone, The Muppets Christmas Carol.
When love is gone, when love is gone, I wish you well, but I must leave you now alone.
This may be a controversial one. As you may know, this song was cut from the movie in theaters and on any widescreen home video release of the movie. It was only added back on the Disney Plus version in 2022. Even then, you have to go to the Extras tab to find the fully restored cut of the movie. But that's only the version sung by actress Meredith Braun as Belle in the film. During the closing credits, there's a version sung by Martina McBride that remains in every cut of the film. Now, this was in the 90s when Disney would add a pop version of the Big Ballad number over the closing credits to get some radio airplay for their movies. Like, Beauty and the Beast did this with Celine Dion, and Aladdin did it with Peebo Bryson, Lion King did it with Elton John, Pocahontas with Vanessa Williams. But I'm sure it had to be confusing for people in the theater seeing Muppet Christmas Carol, because the scene in the movie with the song is not there. But the Martina McBride version of the song is still in the closing credits. So I'm sure people were sitting there after watching this delightful and faithful adaptation of A Christmas Carol, and then there was suddenly some random song about lost love that appeared nowhere else in the movie. But I have always loved Martina McBride's version of this song. It's gorgeous, it's sad, but it's sweet. It has nothing to do with Christmas, but I still love it.
Number 2.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
I know. This seems like a crazy choice. This one plays on the radio and in stores a bazillion times every Christmas season, so you probably think of it as a Christmas song. But before you fire up your phone to leave that comment or send that email, listen to the lyrics. Christmas is never mentioned in this song. It's just one long Grinch diss track. Yes, before there was Drake and Kendrick Lamar, there was the Grinch and Thurl Ravenscroft. You gotta love the creative insults in this song. One of my personal favorites is, "You nauseate me with a nauseous super nos." Yeah, that's right, Grinch. Not a regular degular nos, a super nos. Sick burn.
Honorable mentions.
Make it work. Jingle Jangle.
I'm gonna make it work again. Kinda saying how my story is. I'm gonna make it work again.
though, Jingle Jangle is a Netflix Christmas movie. It stars Forest Whitaker, Keegan-Michael Key, Felicia Rashad, Madeline Mills, and Ricky Martin. It kind of flew under the radar, but it's an enjoyable flick, and this song is my favorite. It's a duet where two people are singing essentially the same words, but about two different things. Forest Whitaker is singing about making the toy he's building work, and Anika Noni Rose, who plays his estranged daughter, is singing about making their relationship work. The song is a banger, and Anika has got a voice and a half. I mean, what else would you expect from the Disney legend who voiced Tiana in Princess and the Frog? Now, one more honorable mention before we get to number one, Linus and Lucy from A Charlie Brown Christmas. This one in honorable mentions because it's kind of cheating. It's an instrumental, so there's no way for it to have lyrics mentioning Christmas or not mentioning Christmas. But since it's become the theme for the Peanuts gang in general, I thought it deserved a spot on this list because it originated from the Christmas special.
Number one.
View from here, Spirited.
That woman was made to see good in each heart, but now she gets paid to pull people apart. And I mean, hey, look at me. I guess that this looks like success, but it doesn't feel true. That's the view from here. That's the view from here.
This year, I became obsessed with the Ryan Reynolds, Will Ferrell movie, Spirited. I've seen it at least once a year since it came out in 2022, but this year the music really struck a chord with me. I had a hard time picking just one song from this movie. I easily could have picked Good Afternoon, which is such a random and goofy song that Ryan and Will sing about a made-up Dickensian-era insult. Lots of great gags and a completely random cameo, if you know, you know. But I kept coming back to this sweet Octavia Spencer song. It's kind of an I want song, which is kind of odd because Octavia's character is not one of the two leads. She's kind of the Bob Cratchit of this movie. And this song is her taking stock of the choices she's made to get where she is, and it starts off slow and builds to a great switch at the end when the song doesn't go where you think it's leading you to. I just love it. I also love the reprise they do later in the movie where Octavia and Will sing it as a duet. I found myself humming it a lot long after the movie was over, and eventually I just started playing it, and now it's just on my regular rotation of songs. And that's my view from here. But what say you? Did I leave out any non-Christmas songs that you think should have been included in this list? Let me know by leaving a comment at can'twaitforchristmaspod.com or email me at christmas@tancast.com. Now let's move on to our next segment. All I Want for Christmas is News.
Baby, all I want for Christmas. Give me that news, baby.
Yeah, news.
This is technically an old news story that I didn't get a chance to cover last year. It involves one of my favorite Christmas movies, It's a Wonderful Life, and one of my least favorite streaming services, Amazon Prime. Yeah, sick burn, Amazon Prime. Let's see you come back from that. Bla-dow! So last year, Amazon Prime put up a version of the movie on their service that they called It's a Wonderful Life, Abridged Edition. They cut 25 minutes out of the movie, and if you're thinking, that seems like an awful lot of movie to lose, I bet it impacts the narrative, you are even more right than you may realize, because they didn't make little cuts here and there throughout the movie, they simply cut the entire part of the movie where George sees a world without him in it. Yes, it goes straight from George talking with Clarence after he jumped in the river to save him, straight to George running back into town. And it's a hard cut, too. In fact, listen, you're going to think I did this as a joke, but this is literally the way they cut it.
I don't know whether I like it very much, being seen around with an angel without any wings.
Oh, I've got to earn them. And you'll help me, won't you?
Sure, sure. How?
By letting me help you.
One way you can help me. You don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you.
Millie! Millie! Yay!
Yep. Yep. That's exactly what they did. I pity anyone who saw this movie this way for the first time. They've got to be thinking, how on earth is this movie so popular? The dude was a ball of angry resentment and then a madman running through town wishing Merry Christmas to random buildings? I can't find anything specific as to why they did this, other than some vague notion that somehow only the scenes where he sees the world without him are under copyright. Yet they still have the full version on their service both in black and white and color. It doesn't make any sense. Regardless, I look forward to next year when they add an abridged version of Scrooge where Bill Murray fires Bobcat Goldthwait and then immediately rehires him again. Credits. And now a word from one of the other podcasts in the Christmas Podcast Network.
What's up, dudes? I'm Jerry D of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, books, fashion, and fads.
If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, he's got it covered. Wait, is there a lot of things to talk about for the 80s and Christmas?
Well, you got the movie giants like Christmas Vacation, Scrooged, and A Christmas Story. There are TV specials like Muppet Family Christmas, Claymation Christmas Celebration, and a Garfield Christmas special.
Plus classics shown every year.
You also jam out to Last Christmas, Do They Know It's Christmas, and Christmas in Hollis. But most of all, it was a time for the most bodacious, best-selling Christmas toys ever, like He-Man, G.I. Joe, Transformers,
and Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yes, them too. We cover them all, plus much more, including standard segments like Hap Hap Happiest Memory, Gag Me with the Spoon, The Other Half of the Battle,
and Chant with the Littles.
So tune in to Totally Rad Christmas everywhere you get your podcasts. Turn the clock back and dive into those warm and fuzzy memories.
Later, dudes.
Welcome back. Now, normally on this show, we talk about the many friends of Christmas, the Magi, St. Nicholas, Charles Dickens, Bing Crosby, but since my son reminded me that today is National Opposite Day, we're going to talk about an enemy of Christmas. This guy is often referred to as the man who banned Christmas, but does he deserve that title? Let's try to find out as this American does his best to share what he learned about Oliver Cromwell and the ban on Christmas.
Oliver Cromwell, Lord Protector of England, and his wards born in 1599 and 1658 September.
So we're going to begin our story with the Civil War.
67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation.
No. Not the American Civil War.
All right. I've run out of patience. On to Ruse!
Hey, everyone.
Nope. Not Captain America Civil War. You know what, sound guy? Just let me handle this. I'm talking about the English Civil War.
Actually, Father, there was more than one.
What's that, Michael?
The English Civil War was actually three different wars. The first war happened from 1642 to 1646. The second in 1648, and the third from 1650 to 1651.
How do you know so much about this? I thought you were studying the American Civil War in school.
I am, but James says it's National Opposite Day today, so...
I'm gonna stop you right there. Go grab your textbooks and finish your homework.
Since it's Opposite Day, I assume you mean not to do that.
Do you want to find out what the opposite of dessert is?
Gotta go. Homework to do.
Anyway, back to the English Civil War. As my son alluded to, it was very complicated, so very... Very basically, King Charles I thought he should rule England without the need for Parliament, and the Parliament very much disagreed. The Puritans of Parliament also felt that religion should be a serious and plain affair, and not the celebratory and ostentatious way that King Charles saw it. There were also issues with taxes and funding a failed war with Spain. It was a lot. It was a lot. Oliver Cromwell was an MP in Parliament and fought as a captain in the Civil War. He rose to the rank of commander and was key in winning multiple battles that turned the tide against the Royalists. And once Charles was driven out of England, the Puritans set about making some changes. Now, if this were a proper history podcast, I'd talk about the scope of these changes and what they meant for the English society as well as the effect they had on the Scottish and the Irish. But this is a Christmas podcast, so we're going to jump straight to the Christmas ban. Now, the ban didn't happen all at once. It was a gradual buildup over several years. Just before the Civil War broke out, in 1642, Parliament had passed and King Charles had signed an order that the last Wednesday in each month should be kept as a fast day. That'll come into play later. The next year, the Parliament met on December 25th. There was no pressing business that required them to meet. They just wanted to treat it as a normal day. See, I can't stress enough how much the Puritans of this time were true haters of the celebration of Christmas. They disliked all the waste, extravagance, disorder, sin, and immorality that they saw in the Christmas celebrations. Also, there was a whole thing about how it was too reminiscent of Catholicism, which they had just thrown out of England a few decades prior. Like I said, it was a whole complex thing. So now, it's 1644, and wouldn't you know it, Christmas fell on the last Wednesday of December. Yep, you were wondering why I mentioned that random law about making the last Wednesday of every month a day of fasting and repentance? Now you know. So on the 19th of December, they pass an ordinance specifying that Christmas should be a fast day. Public notice to be given for the observation of monthly fast till further order, and on the next day being Christmas Day in particular. Whereas some doubts have been raised whether the next fast shall be celebrated, because it falleth on the day which heretofore was usually called the Feast of the Nativity of our Savior, The lords and commons in Parliament assembled do order and ordain that public notice be given that the fast appointed to be kept on the last Wednesday in every month ought to be observed until it be otherwise ordered by the Houses of Parliament. And that this day in particular is to be kept with the more solemn humiliation, because it may call to remembrance our sins and the sins of our forefathers, who have turned this feast, pretending to be the memory of Christ, into an extreme forgetfulness of him, by giving liberty to carnal and sensual delights, being contrary to the life which Christ himself led here on earth, and to the spiritual life of Christ in our souls, for the sanctifying and saving whereof. Christ was pleased to both take a human life and to lay it down again. Even the Grinch would say that these guys were a bunch of killjoys. But, as people tend to do, they celebrate it anyway. Because if there's one thing we know about the Christmas spirit, it's nearly impossible to extinguish it. But the next year, Parliament created a Directory of Public Worship who made it clear that Sundays were to remain holy days, but there should be no other festival days. This was initially just sort of a recommendation, but in 1647, Parliament passed an ordinance abolishing the feasts of Christmas, Easter, and Whitsun, or Pentecost. This led to Christmas riots, as citizens were outraged that this time of communal joy, charity, and family gatherings was being taken away from them. And nothing says joy, charity, and family like a riot, am I right? And just like all riots, the powers that be immediately saw the error of their ways and reversed their decision. I'm kidding. In the 1650s, Parliament passed even more legislation making it harder to celebrate Christmas. Displaying holly and ivy decorations were banned, singing carols were banned, church services on Christmas were banned unless it was a Sunday. They even made it illegal to close your business on Christmas Day. If you had a business, you better be open as usual. But everyone from common citizens to churches flouted this ban. Some were brought up on charges of violating the law, but the jury refused to convict. But Parliament refused to back down. They even sent soldiers out more than once to patrol the cities and confiscate any food or drink that might be used to celebrate Christmas. It was a losing battle, but they continued to fight. But hold on. Someone has been missing from most of this story. Oliver Cromwell, the man who's often referred to as the man who banned Christmas, is nowhere to be found in this story. That's because he was just one of several members of Parliament when these ordinances and laws were being passed. In fact, for some of them, he wasn't even present in Parliament because he was off fighting in the civil wars. Now, it's true, he eventually became Lord Protector of England in 1653 until his death in 1658, and in all that time he never did anything to stop the ban and indeed continued to enforce it. But technically, he wasn't the one who banned Christmas. But because he was such a prominent figure in the Commonwealth of England, his name has become attached to the Christmas ban, and to be fair, he definitely would have endorsed it. If there were political ads back then, there would totally have been one like this. People who celebrate Christmas claim it's all about peace on earth and goodwill towards men. But let's look at the record. Partying. Eating and drinking to excess. Kissing under the mistletoe. Pagan rituals. In short, you have a ghastly mess. Christmas. Wrong on piety. Wrong for England.
I'm Oliver Cromwell and I approve this message.
Incidentally, the Commonwealth of England didn't last long after Cromwell's death. 2 years later, the monarchy was restored when King Charles' son, Charles II, was crowned king. When that happened, the Directory of Public Worship and all the other legislation between 1642 and 1660 was chucked out, and that included all the various restrictions on Christmas. So, while Oliver Cromwell did not himself ban Christmas, he was definitely no friend of Christmas. I would go so far as to call him a Christmas nemesis. If you'd like to learn more about Oliver Cromwell or the English Civil War, check out your local library.
La la la!
And that's our show. Thanks for starting off the year with us. If you're in the mood for more Christmas goodness, I was recently a guest on the Totally Rad Christmas Podcast along with Mike from the Advent Calendar House Podcast. We were talking about the classic TV special John Denver and the Muppets, A Christmas Together. I love both Jerry and Mike, and how can you not have a good time talking about the Muppets and Johnny D? I'll put a link to the episode in the show notes. Okay, enjoy the rest of National Opposite Day, or should I say, don't enjoy it? I don't know, I'm still figuring this out. But until next time, Yule Believers, keep laughing all the way.
And that was Christmas 1983.
Actually, Dad, it's 2025.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, and email us about it at christmas@tancast.com, we'll send you a free Can't Wait for Christmas sticker. If you'd like to see the show notes or leave a comment on this or any other episodes, you can go to our official website, cantwaitforchristmaspod.com. While you're there, you'll find a link to our official Zazzle store, where you can grab customizable t-shirts, ornaments, stickers, and all sorts of other Christmas-themed items all year long. We'd love to connect with you on social media. On TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we are Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. And on the app formerly known as Twitter, we are at Christmas Pod. We Wish You a Merry Christmas was performed by the United States Marine Corps Band, and this amazing version of Jingle Bells on the accordion was performed by the wonderful and talented Christian Nowicki. All other music and sounds used in this episode are the properties of their individual copyright holders, and they are used for purposes of commentary and review. No infringement is intended. Okay, boys, did I forget anything?
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
I'm your host and guy who just took his Christmas decorations down a few days ago. La, 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 la. First paragraph of the show. Are you doing outtakes? Strap in, everybody. It's gonna be a rough one.
I am, but James said today it's National
Because it is.
Yay, outtake reel.
Okay.
You don't have any
Sorry.
Wow. This is going to be a long day, isn't it?
Hello.
All right. That was good, but next time don't hold out the hello for that long.
Hello.
Foley work done by James Babb stomping out of the room.
Actually, Father, there was more than one.
The written line was Daddy, but he changed it to Father because he's an actor who loves to improvise.
And I like it better that way.
I mean, it is funnier, so I give you that.
The English Civil War is actually three different wars. It first happened from...
Walls? You don't need to randomly get an English accent for one word.
Hey, it's an English Civil... It's England. No. Okay. The English Civil War is actually three different... Was actually. It was actually.
Oof! There you go. I corrected it on my version.
Okay, but I can't see your version.
And he left. Okay, well, we'll get him on again for his actual recipe later this year, but for now, I've got our non-opposite day Christmas idea. That is a confusing couple of words. Our non-opposite day Christmas now idea. Whew! Who wrote this? Some idiot! Plus, we have the added bonus of getting to hear the same song again, this time as a lip sync done by Bing Crosby and Danny Kane. K. Not Kane. Did I say Danny Kane? Plus, we get the added bonus of hearing this sentence 47 times! If you don't know, Jingle Jangle was a Netflix Christmas movie that may have flown a little bit under the radar. It stars Forest Whitaker, Keegan-Michael Key, Felicia Rashad, Madison Mills, and Ricky Martin. I just said flew under the radar. Now I gotta do it over, because I didn't realize I said flew under the radar, and I spontaneously added flew under the radar, and I didn't realize later in the same sentence I added flew under the radar. I can't be flying under all these radars! Tim is losing his mind while he's recording this show. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-boodily-boo. It involves one of my favorite Christmas movies, It's a Wonderful Life. I feel like I didn't finish the word movies there. Like, I was so excited to get to the rest of the sentence, I hit the V, and I was like, good enough! The Puritans of Parliament also felt that religion should be a serious and plain affair, and not the celebratory and ostentatious way... Oh my gosh! The Puritans of Parliament also felt that religion should be a serious and plain affair, not the celebratory and ostentatious... Why do I write the word ostentatious for me to say?! Public notice to be given for the observation of monthly fast till further notice. Oh, dang it. I am reading a verbatim order from the 17th century. This is going to be Flubfest 2025. We were talking about the classic TV special John Van I'm almost done, Lips. Can you please cooperate?
This is why you're hanging it.